Well, good morning once again, and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text is taken from the first epistle of Paul to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 5 will serve as our text this morning. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. This morning's text speaks for itself, so we're going to get right to it. First of all, we see that there is one God. Second, there is one mediator between God and men. And third, having established these things, we shall make some applications. First, there is one God. Now, this is a well-established fact beginning in the Old Testament. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me, there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared and saved. I have proclaimed, and there was no foreign God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Now the New Testament further establishes the fact of the existence of the one true God. And it goes further than that. That the one true God has revealed himself in three distinct persons. And so in the Great Commission, we are told to make disciples in the name singular of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. One God existing in three persons. And Jesus himself says, I and my Father are one. This is a oneness of essence. The Father is distinct from the Son, and yet he is the same as the Son. And this is the mystery of the Godhead. We accept this thing by faith because the scripture teaches it and because Jesus himself said that is how it is. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. This Jesus, the God-man, gave himself a ransom for all. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant. In other words, because all have broken the Old Testament law, we've all broken the Ten Commandments, we've all fallen short, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. In other words, that those who believe and put their faith upon the one mediator, Jesus Christ, and believe that it is through his shed blood that the penalty for sin has been paid, such a one has a home in heaven. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, having presented the gospel from our text, let us make our applications. And this is going to be the bulk of our sermon this morning. First, each of us is called to believe in faith upon the God revealed from Genesis to Revelation within the pages of the Holy Bible. We must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who put their faith in him. As evidence, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, a well-attested fact of history. So our belief is not based upon blind faith, but upon faith, which is also faith in true events in human history. Even though this happened 2,000 years ago and we weren't around then, we believe the testimony of those who have gone before us and testified to certain facts. The greatest of these, arguably, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the cornerstone fact of our Christian faith. Third, by definition, the existence of one true God excludes the existence of any other so-called gods. We cannot say that there are other gods or many gods. Scripture simply doesn't allow for this. If Jesus Christ is God, then we affirm the truth of the Bible, and therefore all of the so-called holy books must be wrong, for they contradict this fact. The uniqueness of the Lord's deity, person, and mediatorial work is the basis for his statement. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You're not going to get to the Father through the Prophet Muhammad, the so-called Prophet Muhammad. We don't affirm him here. Through Hinduism, or Buddhism, or Zoroastrianism, or any kind of blend of false pagan religions with Christianity, but only through the name, the one name under heaven by which we may be saved, that of Jesus Christ. Not only is Jesus Christ the only mediator between God and men with regard to salvation, not only is he the only way to find peaceful fellowship with the Father, he is also the only one through whom we may come to the Father in prayer. As we read through the scriptures, we're going to find that the prayers in the Old Testament are always addressed to God the Father, to Yahweh, which is the personal name for God in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, we're going to find that likewise, the vast majority of prayers are addressed to God the Father. Is this not how our Lord Jesus taught us to pray? Our Father in heaven. Notwithstanding, there are yet a few prayers which are directed to God the Son. Did not Thomas fall on his knees saying, "My Lord and my God"? Prayers are never directed to angels or to Mary or to Joseph or to all the saints. This, friends, is the problem with interfaith worship services and interfaith prayers. If there is an interfaith prayer and one is praying to God the Father directly through God the Son, the Bible way, And someone else is trying to go through Mary, and someone else is trying to get there through Muhammad, and someone else is trying to get there through who knows what or whom. Where then is the unity? This is not John 17 unity that Jesus talked about. The unity that Jesus talked about assumes a right approach to God the right way. God has not become less holy or less stringent in his guidelines as to the reverent approach of him than he was in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, human priests were appointed to mediate between God and men and to preside over the daily sacrifices. But in the New Testament, no such things are necessary. We go directly to God through God the Son, our mediator, who is also our once-for-all sacrifice. In essence, when God tore the veil from top to bottom after Jesus died, he cut out the middleman. This is the essence of the difference between the Bible way and the Roman Catholic way. My purpose is not to pick on certain things or a certain religion, but simply to explain the difference. And in a nutshell, the difference between the Bible way and the Roman Catholic way is this. In the Bible way, we come to God the Father, and the only middleman is Jesus Christ, who has already sacrificed once and for all. In Roman Catholic theology, in the Roman Catholic Mass, you come to God through New Testament human priesthood, which God never appointed, nor did it enter his mind. And you re-sacrifice the Son of God, something that it is said is done only by the unbelievers and the heathen in Hebrews chapter 6. Now, it is good to know all of these truths. We began with a pretty heavy dose of doctrine. We brought forth some doctrinal application. But what good are all these truths if they don't saturate our hearts, our minds, and our lives? There may be someone who is confused because these Bible truths seem to contradict the religious system they were brought up with. The relevant Bible verses have been quoted and they're in your bulletin. Here's a point of application. Investigate these things for yourself. For our final application, we shall draw in the context of our text. Now, no scripture in this book is written in a vacuum. Every scripture in this book has a context in which it was written. In the context that we find our text is within that of prayer. So in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, we read, "Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." And then we've got the basis for the prayer, which is our text. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Our prayers are to be directed to God the Father, through God the Son, in God the Holy Spirit. And they're to be directed to God for all men. For your spouse, for your children, for your parents, if you're blessed enough to still have them on this earth, for yourselves, for your friends, and yes, even for your enemies. And if you don't have any enemies, I'll make myself an enemy to you, if you'd like. For kings and all who are in authority, the world resorts to nastiness. Have you seen any nastiness lately in the news? Have you heard any nastiness on the airwaves? Have you experienced any nastiness in your workplace or in your school? How about in your home? In your family? What does the Christian do? Offers up supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks for all men. One of the marks of a mature Christian is being able to pray and thank God, even in the midst of the most difficult trials. So let's pray, whatever we think of them, whether we count them a friend or an enemy, for our president, for our mayor, for our judges, and most of all, for those we love. Why should we do this? That's not always a natural thing to do. Turn on the TV and you'll see the natural thing to do. Prayer is a supernatural response. And we do it because this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. A prayerful Christian is an obedient Christian. A prayerful Christian is a real Christian. Let us each make certain that we are truly of the faith and in the faith. Let us make sure that we are of Christ and in Christ. And once we do that, we can get on God's page, one step at a time, in one area of our lives first, and then another. We're all climbing up that mountain. We've all got our path to climb. The steps are different. We've all got our valleys that we must ascend into, where we can't always see where the path continues up, but we know it's there. Because Christ made that path for us. And we know He's there. Our mediator, our intercessor, our advocate before the Father. In every time and always. So let us get on God's path and on God's page, following the one God through the one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for standing in the gap for us. We thank You that when You looked and You saw no intercessor, Your right arm brought salvation. We thank You that we can look back upon the finished work at the cross, and that all we need to do is to come to You humble and contrite. And You are always there for us. Lord, we're sorry for all of the times that we've blown it throughout our lives, throughout this past week. Even this morning, maybe we've been short because we've been in a hurry. Oh, we've said something we shouldn't have, but we failed to say something we ought to have said. But we thank You that You give us each day anew. Lord, if there are any in the hearing of this message who have some confusion with regard to how to come to You, simply through Your Son Jesus, believing in faith and praying through Him and Him alone, that such a one has been freed by the truth of Your gospel and the truth of Your word. And that in all things, wherever we are, that our relationships with You through Your Son will now move to the next level. In the name of our great God, Savior, Lord, and Mediator, we pray. Amen.